A WPR podcast called Derailed is helping us explore how high-speed rail almost became a reality here in Wisconsin. It was a central issue in the race for governor in 2010, as Wisconsinites well remember, but it's actually been a hot topic since the 1990s. Sean Johnson and Bridget Bowden spent about a year working on the series, focusing on the politics and the personal stories, what this controversy says about Wisconsin. The sixth and final episode is out today. You can check it out at WPR.org/derailed or wherever you get your podcasts. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And Bridget Bowden is WPR Special Projects Reporter. Bridget, nice to have you here too.
Happy to be here.
You say at the front of every Derailed episode, wait, start at the beginning. Everything will make way more sense if you go all the way back. We can't do that. That's right. What the podcast is for. Tell us about this brand new episode. What's it about?
This one, how do we sum it up? I mean, this is about what does it all mean?
Yeah.
I mean, generally speaking, I think the train and the details of the train debate that Wisconsin experienced from, 1999 on in through 2009, 2010, those are all things that people remember, but this wasn't the only thing happening during this period. I mean, politics was evolving in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was changing. And so our general premise for the episode six is that the train was kind of along for the ride in this.
That's a really broad thing to take on for a podcast episode.
It is, especially when you consider that all of our other episodes have sort of been based on a timeline. We're telling you the story of what happened and when it happened. This episode is a little bit broader.
We know under President Obama, $8 billion of stimulus money was dedicated to high-speed rail, and then more than $800 million of it was approved for Wisconsin. States were competing for that money, though. Sean, what was Doyle proposing? Remind us.
Yeah, what Doyle was proposing was something initially he started out with talking about, improving the Hiawatha line between Milwaukee and Chicago. That was what he was initially thinking about doing. And then as it became clear that there was more federal stimulus funding available and available specifically for high speed rail, that ask kind of kept growing. So Doyle went to Spain, kind of rode the rails there, saw what was available. And you'll hear a little clip here with some music from the podcast where we go through how the state's ask grew. At this point, that's what the state's asking for, enough to upgrade the Milwaukee to Chicago rail line and start building out toward Madison. But over the next several months, the state's request grows. It starts at around $100 million and grows to $500 million. And finally, to more than $800 million.
And in January of 2010, Jim Doyle holds a press conference at the state capitol in Madison to announce that Wisconsin is getting all of it.
This is a 100% funded project. It is just a phenomenal moment. I mean, every single dime that we asked for, we have been granted. So today...
And every single dime is kind of the keywords there from Governor Doyle. And it like emphasizes what was different about this award for the high speed rail plan. Just you don't see an award of federal money like this, every day. Usually there's a federal state mix to some kind of a transportation project. And this was, a very large chunk of federal money that was designed to cover the entire cost of this project.
Right. And the money was approved, but they never made it to Wisconsin. Why?
That's right. So during the 2000 governor's race, you had Scott Walker running against Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett.
And 2010.
Did I say 2010?
Yep. we've been like deep in this timeline for a while.
Yeah, 2010. And during that campaign, the future governor, Scott Walker, promised to kill this high-speed rail line. It's something that he thought the state didn't need. He thought it would be too expensive. And he thought that it wasn't actually going to be fast enough to be useful for the people of Wisconsin. And before he even took office, the project was paused and the money was sent back to the federal government.
We're talking with Bridget Bowden and Sean Johnson, two WPR reporters working on Derailed. It's a podcast that is wrapping up shortly about high-speed rail in Wisconsin. Bridget, that money that would have come to Wisconsin eventually went to California, and you spent some time there. What did you find?
Right. So the money that we sent back to the federal government was sort of redistributed to other states, and the largest chunk of it went to California. And they're building a high-speed rail line between San Francisco and Los Angeles. And it's a project that's still very much in the works and has gone through a lot of changes recently and is a really controversial project and is having some really serious impacts on people who live in the Central Valley of California.
It sounds like then, from what you've seen in California, this idea that high-speed rail would have been super simple and easy if we'd just gone through with it may not necessarily have been the case. The situation's more complicated.
It's important to note, though, that the California project is super different than what we would have seen here because they are creating an entirely new rail corridor. So they haven't acquired all of the land they need yet. So it would have been super different, but the project never happened here, so it's the closest thing we have to sort of look at what could have happened.
And the project never happened here, but we still bought the trains, right? Like physical trains, they exist?
They do, yeah. And they are Badger Red, actually, the colors chosen by former DOT Secretary Frank Busolaki, who is in the Doyle administration. So yes, I mean, the state spent about $50 million on the trains. Bought them from a Spanish company called Talgo. Talgo sued the state over a breach of contract. Talgo won. So Talgo got paid about $50 million and got to keep the trains. So yes, they do exist, but they are not running anywhere in Wisconsin.
It's important to note that those trains were that the trains that got built would have run on the Hiawatha line between Chicago and Milwaukee with the potential to build more for the high-speed rail line that never happened. But once the Madison line was canceled, it fell apart from there.
And they exist someplace. We don't have to say where, but you've seen them.
We've seen them. If you listen to the podcast, you can find out where they are.
They're absolutely there. During his run for governor in 2010, Walker called this high-speed rail project a boondoggle. Let's take a listen to another portion of Derailed.
To understand Scott Walker, you have to understand how he got where he is, how he went from a young state representative to Milwaukee County executive and eventually to the governor's office. There were people along the way who helped him, some of them quite a bit, like longtime conservative talk radio host Charlie Sykes.
Well, I actually knew Scott before he was even a state representative. I actually met him before he actually ran. And then got to know him very well when he was in the state legislature, and he was sort of a backbencher. But he was a backbencher who understood how to use the media. And he made himself available and really became a regular on conservative talk radio, including my show.
Sykes hosted a morning...
Bridget, we heard that there about Scott Walker's media prowess. How did that help him pull the plug on this high-speed rail project?
So throughout the campaign... The media, especially conservative talk radio, was really huge in the way that Walker was going against the project. In episode 3, we talk a lot about Charlie Sykes and how Charlie Sykes referred to the train. So you have to listen to hear exactly how that went down. But it was huge.
And, before that, before Walker, before Doyle, was Tommy Thompson. And Sean, you talked with him. He was a big fan of high-speed rail, but later supported Walker's plan to kill it. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, when Tommy Thompson sort of changed his tune on the train, he was running for U.S. Senate. And this was in 2012. And Scott Walker was governor. And, there's sort of a code among Republicans, fellow governors, that at least among Tommy Thompson, he doesn't openly criticize Scott Walker too often or not too, publicly at least. And so he never has, to our knowledge, criticized Scott Walker on these trains. And he said during his campaign for U.S. Senate that he stood by Walker. That said, if you talk to Tommy Thompson about this proposal, he still proposes, or he still likes it in principle. He thinks trains are a good idea. They're kind of near and dear to his heart. He talks about riding the rails as a kid in Elroy, Wisconsin. They'd hop on freights and ride for like a mile until they left town. And so he still thinks, you know, trains could work. But he also acknowledges that, you know, times have changed and not everybody feels that way.
We have barely scratched the surface. What do you want people to take away from Derailed?
So I hope that people, when they listen to the podcast, will get a sense of how Wisconsin has really changed in the last 20 or so years politically. The story of this train is not just a story about a train. It's a story sort of about Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great kind of vehicle for you to just soak in everything that we've been through, you know, just historically, politically, the recession, the rise of the Tea Party, the way politics are different and were different under Scott Walker than they were under Tommy Thompson. There have been a lot of changes that Wisconsin has gone through as a state. And so this train is just kind of a, you know, I don't mean it as a pun here to say it's a vehicle, but it really does kind of like, you know, you get to ride through this era of history and kind of see just how far the state has come.
Sean Johnson and Bridget Bowden talking with us about the Derailed podcast. You can listen to all 6 episodes as well as potentially some teased bonus material. We'll see at WPR.org/derailed or wherever you typically get your podcasts.